Good morning, brothers and sisters, friends of FEC. This is our first time in a very long time not to be able to come together to worship the Lord. But God is a spirit, and he does not reside in buildings. And whenever God's people come together, he is in our midst. So let's encourage one another this morning through God's word. And the topic for this morning is God's promises to the frightened. And we want to look at a few verses from Hebrews 13. So before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you anytime, any place, and that through your Spirit, you are with us, and may our time this morning in your word bring us encouragement and help us to trust you more. Speak to me and through me to your people, for we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This last 2 weeks has been unprecedented because of the COVID-19 outbreak. By this time, all the malls are shut down, restaurants. And one term that people use to describe what's happening is surreal. It kind of doesn't look real, but it's actually happening. And in the Richmond News on this last Thursday, they had a picture of Richmond Center, and they called it Ghost Center. So before I begin, I just want to say that as God's children, we don't need to worry about tomorrow because God is already there. And God will be with us no matter what happens. And last thing I want to mention, God never forgets his children. And so we don't have to worry if God is with us. Which brings us to the scripture for this morning from Hebrews 13. We want to focus on verse 5 and 6, but let's just read from verse 1 and 2 before we go to verse 5 and 6. This is the end of the letter of Hebrews, and these are some practical teachings for people who know and follow Jesus Christ. So Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Jumping to verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? This is the word of the Lord. As we focus on verse 5 and 6, I want you to know that there are some commands regarding some pretty strong emotions or feelings we have. For example, in verse 5, keep your lives free from the love. Love is a strong emotion, love of money. And be content. To be content is to be satisfied, another emotion, with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, another term, confidence, with assurance, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Not be afraid is another strong emotion. Fear is a strong emotion. What can mere mortals do to me? So here we see God's word commanding us to have certain feelings or to not have certain feelings. And That tells us that we do not have to be controlled by our emotions, no matter how strong they might be. We do have a choice. Sometimes it will not be easy, but nevertheless, it's a choice each of us must make. And in this particular text here, in verse 5, there's a choice between money and God. Keep your lives free from the love of money or coveting and be content with what you have. And then a promise of God. Now, what do we have that we need to be content with right now? Well, when we think about this, most of us think immediately of our savings account, our nest egg, and with the stock market plunging this whole time, we wonder what's left of our savings. Yet God's word says, keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what we have. Well, a lot of people put their trust in money because we do need money, and money can get us a lot of things. Most people depend on money for their security. Without money, there's a lot of things you can't do. And yet here, the choice is between putting our trust in money to do for us all the things we need to do, or to put our trust in God, and specifically God's presence, God's promised presence. So here, the Word of God is asking us to choose. Are we going to choose God's promised presence, or are we going to choose money and what it can provide for us? To help us see why the choice to choose God's promised presence is far, far more superior, let's ask the question, to whom has God made this promise? You see, Hebrews 13:5 is kind of a paraphrase of God's promise to different people at different times in the Old Testament. It's not exactly word for word, but the meaning are there. And so this is what God has promised. So let's go to the Old Testament and look at three or four instances where God made this promise. The first one will take us to Genesis 28, verse 15. And Genesis 28, verse 15 read, God talking, I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Does anyone know who God is making this promise to in Genesis 28? Well, if you answered Jacob, you are correct. And at this point in time, Jacob, having cheated his elder brother Esau out of his birthright from their father, is on the run because Esau wants to kill him. His family has been ripped apart because of what he has done. He separated from his mom, his dad, and he's on the run. So this is the promise that God made to Jacob. I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Another instance where God made this promise, we can find in Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, and to know whom God, well, here it's not God speaking directly, but Moses speaking to the people of Israel, and also speaking to Joshua, with the people of Israel all around them. And so let's start with Deuteronomy 31, verse 1 to 2. It reads, "Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you." And then going to verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them." Them refers to the people living in the promised land, the Canaanites. "For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Verse 7, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" Of course, when we get to Joshua 1, God will directly say the same thing to Joshua again. In the interest of time, we won't look that up, because here it's Moses telling Joshua, and in Deuteronomy 31, because Moses was about to die, and the leadership about to pass on to Joshua. And then in Joshua chapter 1, Moses had died, and God himself now speaks the same words to Joshua, that "Be strong and courageous, I will be with you, I will never leave you or forsake you, do not be afraid or discouraged." So far, we see to whom God has promised his presence. God promised his presence to Jacob, someone on the run, someone running for his life, someone who has tried to take matters into his own hands and has messed up big time. Jacob, prodigal, on the run. God does not give up on him. God appears to him, actually for the first time, while he was running for his life, and made that promise. And that should give you and I lots of hope. If we think we have messed up things big time, if we have run away, whether it's from our family, from the mess we've made, from God, God does not give up on us. And to all the prodigals, he says, "I will never leave you. I will take care of you if you come back to me." The second instance that we read about in Deuteronomy 31, God speaking to his people. They were about to enter the promised land without Moses, their leader, who has led them for the past almost 40 years. Now, those are pretty big shoes to fill. The leadership is about to go to Joshua, and they're about to enter the promised land, and what's ahead will be fierce battles against all the occupants of the promised land. They are fierce and powerful and well-armed, and there will be much battles ahead. It will not be easy. And this is the people that God is making this promise. "I will be with you. I will be with your leader, Joshua. And I will go before you, and it is I who will drive out these very fierce and powerful occupants of the promised land. All you need to do is trust me and follow me." But it will not be a cakewalk. It will be tough. You will have to fight one battle after another, and it won't be easy. The last example we will see where God made this promise to, we have to fast forward many years now. God's people are captives and they have been exiled. And they are afraid of their powerful conquerors, and they are discouraged because they have been exiled far away from their homeland. And here we go to Isaiah chapter 41. We start with the last part of verse 9 to 10. We'll just read a few verses, and then 13, and then Isaiah 41, the last part of verse 17. Listen to God's word as he makes this promise. God said, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.' I, the Lord, will answer you. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake you." So to whom has God made this promise of his presence? To Jacob, someone on the run who have made a mess of his life and of things in his family. God made this promise to his people, about to enter the promised land, uncertain about the future with the change of leadership from Moses to Joshua, and with fierce and dangerous battles ahead. In the last text, God made this promise to his people, who, because of idolatry and disobedience, have been conquered and exiled, and they are so afraid of their conquerors and so discouraged as exiles. Can you and I relate, identify with any of these situations? What God's people, the situations they were in, the feelings they were feeling when God came and made this wonderful promise to them? I can. And going back to Isaiah 41, God told his exiled people, "Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged." Why? Well, because despite their disobedience, God still called them my servant. God has not given up on them. "You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you." This exile, this captivity is my way of refining you and making you realize that you need to choose me and not the idols. And verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed or discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord who takes hold of your right hand." Isn't that a beautiful picture? God, with his righteous, powerful right hand, is going to take hold of our weak right hand. And then God says to us, "Do not be afraid. I will help you. I will answer you. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake you." Forsake. That is not a good feeling word. To be forsaken means you feel completely alone, without any help, without any friend, without any hope, and in utter misery and despair. Forsaken. And this promise that God made to the exile says, "I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will not forsake my children." God's promise is the same to those of us who are feeling forsaken this morning, which brings us back to Hebrews 13:5. I will just focus on this part now. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And so we say with confidence, "The Lord's my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" This promise here to the forsaken is ours to claim right now, this morning. Why can I be so sure about that? Well, because in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, this is the New Living Translation, it says, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes with exclamation mark." All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. So we can claim this promise, and how we need this promise right now. And we might not see this very well in our English translation, but here we have God's strongest guarantee on his promise to always be with his people, with us. See, the English translation have these words available to say that God will never leave us, right? We have the word "not" or the word "never." And if you have two linked together, you could use "neither" "nor." Interestingly, I guess in English, if you have two negatives, it cancels itself out, becomes positive. You know, like, "I am not going to see you" means "I am going to see you," because there are two negatives. Anyway, interestingly, in Greek, that rule does not apply. So you can have two, three negatives piled up together, and for emphasis, basically, for emphasis, two negatives does not cancel each other out in Greek, basically. And in this text, the promise that God says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you," there are five negative terms used there. There's "ume," which means "never," "certainly not," "by no means." And then there's another negative, "ude." "Ude" means "moreover not," "not even," "nor even." Anyway, it's interesting because here, let me read you something, how this, all these negative terms work. Regardless of how "ude" is translated, it means if statement A is not true or valid, then statement B, which extends from statement A, is also not valid. See, God says, "Never will I leave you." That's statement A. Statement B, which comes out of statement A, is "never will I forsake you." Two statements. So in the Greek, we have God's strongest guarantee. Because how this verse go is "ume se ano," which means two negatives there. "Never will I let you go." And then the next part says "ud ume," three negatives, "se ekatalipo," which literally translates, "Never will I leave you behind." Five negatives. "Never will I let you go," that's statement A. And then with three negatives piled up for the second statement, never will I leave you behind. Well, Charles Spurgeon, when he preached a sermon based on this verse, Hebrews 13:5, guess what's the title of his sermon? Never! 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 And then finally, the fifth never! Five nevers. That's very neat because you see God's promise where he says, I will never leave you. How many words is that? I will never leave you. That's five words. And here in the Greek text, there are five negatives, five nevers. And why I say this is interesting is that we have five fingers on each hand. And if God is the thumb and we are the pinky, you could basically say this promise touching each of those fingers, right? God says, I, that's your thumb, I will, index finger, never leave you, pinky. I will never leave you. Can you say that? Touching each of your fingers? I will never leave you. Why are we doing this? Because whenever we are afraid, whenever we are not sure where God is, just take out your hand and remind yourself of God's promise. I will never leave you. Let's remind ourselves of the never promise of God. Why? Because wherever you go, your hands go with you. What does that mean? It means God goes with you and his promise stands. I will never leave you. So let's, as we close, let's review this precious two verses here. Hebrews 13:5-6. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation here. It says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, and here's the promise, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What could mere humans do to me? We said this here, we are commanded to feel certain things and not to feel certain things. We are commanded not to crave or love money. We are commanded to be satisfied with what we have because we trust in God. There's a choice that we have to make. Are we going to choose money or God? And it's not just money. There are many other things. During this time of crisis, on what or on whom are you depending on? God? The doctors? Yes, they're very important. The researchers to come up with a vaccine as quickly as possible? Yes, let's pray for them that they will find this vaccine soon. But on what or on whom are you putting all your trust in? We have to choose. And God is saying, choose me. Not money, not anything else. Because of my promise. Because of my promise. And if we do that, and you'll see, the next thing says, so we can say with confidence, if we choose God, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. I will not be afraid. Why? Because if the Lord is with me, he is going to help me. And what can, I'll just leave it blank, what can something do to me? What can the virus do to me? Well, the worst thing is it will kill me, but that would not ruin me because I'm a child of God and the promise still stands. Jesus is always going to be with me no matter what happens. If I lose my money, will that destroy me or ruin me? No, because I have God. Right? And so this is what we believe. Why does the writer says say with confidence? Well, I think because he knows there are going to be moments when my faith is kind of shaky and I'm not sure if I can say it with confidence. Who are we saying it to? Well, for me, I think the author is telling us to say it to ourselves. Talk to myself. Preach to myself. God, has God been faithful up till now? Yes. Has he ever failed you? No. Can we trust his promises? Yes. How can we know that everything is going to be fulfilled? Because God already gave up his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why it says all the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ. So as we begin to waver a bit, let's say this to ourselves. And the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. God has never failed me up till now. He is in control. He's seated on this throne. He's working out his purposes, not just for me, not just for my family, but for our church family, even through this critical times. And so during these uncertain times, and this I conclude with these questions, on what are you depending on? On what are you depending for your security? On whom are you depending? Yes, we can ask for practical help from one another as the body of Christ. The pastoral staff will continue to pray for you and do what we can to assist you in practical ways. You can depend on us, God willing. But more importantly, we need to depend on God. So on what are you depending on for security? On whom are you depending? And finally, who is with you all the time? And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I want you to remember your hand with the five fingers, with God's ironclad promise. People say you can take it to the bank. This five fingers is God's promise, five words. I will never leave you. And now you know that's five nevers in the emphatic. And because of that, can we say with confidence, the Lord is with me no matter what happens? Can we say, because he's with me, he will help me. And so I do not need to be afraid. I will not be afraid. Can we say that? I trust that we can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you promise to be with us no matter what happens. Thank you that you promise to be our helper. And so, Lord, with you beside us, going before us, behind us, we do not need to be afraid, even though we will be afraid. And that's why we need to say to ourselves, to preach to ourselves, we need to look at our fingers and claim that promise where you say, I will never leave you. And thank you, Lord, that you mean what you say, and we can trust in you. Therefore, we will not be afraid. And so may we continue to trust you as we go through this critical time. We pray all this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.